I've never gone this early.
Oh, God,
oh, don't touch it. He didn't hear that.
Oh.
Memo. Don't touch the mic.
Didn't touch the mic.
Secret probation.
Is it broken now? What happened?
No, it's a new one, and it's, you see the duct tape?
Oh. I've never gone this early before. I have to drink a couple before I come up here. Let's see. There's an emerging theory about the decline of American culture, what little there was. And it can be ascribed to the work of a single individual, and of course, I am talking about Dr. Seuss. In 1957, The Cat in the Hat was published, and the stage was set to program ensuing generations of children to thumb their noses at authority and personal responsibility. In the book, two children are left alone by what appears to be a negligent single mother, an added assault to the American nuclear family, and visited by a subversive degenerate dressed primarily in what can only be described as Soviet red. The cat coerces the kids into trashing the house, all the while ignoring the prudent warning of the goldfish, the diminutive voice of reason. The moral here is that violating rules and trust is acceptable as long as we cover up the wrongdoing, clean up the mess before mom gets home. An affirmation that deceit and lies are okay as long as we can get away with it. A year later, Seuss reinforced this aberrant behavior with the release of The Cat in the Hat Comes Back. In this even more subversive sequel, Comrade Cat entices the obviously truant children with an alluring peak pink substance which they use to disfigure their house and the surrounding landscape. They again manage to clean it all up before any semblance of authority returns using a hazardous machine the cat conveniently has in tow. The once vigilant goldfish has been completely marginalized here, becoming instead a passive accomplice in the premeditated mayhem. Here, generations of American children learn that we can be reckless and destructive for our own selfishness and amusement while blindly relying on technology to solve the problems we create, rather than exercising the self-control to prevent them from occurring in the first place. But in 1960, Dr. Seuss unleashed perhaps the most destructive subliminal message in the fourth best-selling children's book of all time. In this manifesto, our protagonist appears to be a young runaway harassed by an edgy degenerate who doggedly pursues the kid, coaxing him to ingest green eggs and ham. Disregarding the negative impact this had on kosher and halal homes, the obvious nod to the deregulation of corporate agriculture, this book clearly represents the dawn of the peer pressure-driven drug culture. The kid valiantly resists, repeatedly saying no to Sam I Am, no doubt a street alias, who frenetically tempts him with hallucinatory images, offering him a ride in a car, in a boat, on a train, and in the end, our hero finally capitulates, samples the dangerous substance, and is immediately hooked. The true impact of this book on developing minds is difficult to truly quantify, but because of this corrosive effect, sadly, many of the best and brightest of my generation were unable to resist beyond in a box with a fox before surrendering to a life of recreational drug use.